The Milwaukee Film Festival is now underway. The centerpiece film this year will take us into a story familiar to many Milwaukeeans. In 2014, Dontre Hamilton was killed by a police officer in downtown Milwaukee. The Blood is at the Doorstep, from filmmaker Eric Young, follows Hamilton's family as they grieve, heal, and fight for change in their city. Race and ethnicity reporter Aisha Turner spoke with Young about the process of making the film.
It's a Saturday morning in downtown Milwaukee, maybe one of the last warm weekends before the autumn chill sets in. City buses drop passengers at the corner of Water and Kilbourne. People walk their dogs through the area of Red Arrow Park that becomes an ice rink in the winter.
You know, I played hockey growing up, and I would go ice skating and play pond hockey on the rink after hours when it's closed. Don't tell anybody. But now, if I come here, it's for a purpose.
For filmmaker Eric Young, Red Arrow Park is now solemn ground.
Either I'm filming coming here, or I'm coming here to look at the memorial. I don't come here to hang out anymore. You know, it holds a different significance.
On April 30th, 2014, Milwaukee police officer Christopher Manny responded to a call that a man, Dontre Hamilton, was sleeping in the park outside of Starbucks. There was an altercation. Manny shot Hamilton 14 times. Eric Young spent the last 3 years following Dontre Hamilton's family. His film brings viewers into their world. Within the first 10 minutes of The Blood is at the Doorstep, Dontre's older brother, Nate Hamilton, goes through an evidence bag from the scene of the shooting.
This is basically the last thing he laid on.
He pulls out the blue blanket Dontre was sleeping on and scrolls through Dontre's cell phone.
You know, I think they said the shooting happened around 3:30. Like at 3:23, my mom called Dontre.
He finds a message from their mom.
So this is basically when he was being killed. My mama calling because she ain't heard from him.
The Blood is at the Doorstep premiered almost 7 months ago at South by Southwest and has been screened in New York and D.C. since then. But the Milwaukee Film Festival is its homecoming. The festival will be the first time the film is screened publicly in the city.
I mean, this is what we've been looking forward to this whole time and anxious about. When we show this screen elsewhere, people aren't really familiar with the story. And this was a very personal story for the entire city of Milwaukee. So it holds a completely different significance. And the people that watch the film here are going to be a lot more in tune to what happened. So we're excited to finally bring it home to Milwaukee.
This is Eric's first feature-length documentary. He was born and raised in California, home to a pretty famous film scene. But other than a few skater videos he made as a kid, he couldn't have foreseen a career in production.
I always thought growing up you had to be rich or a starving artist to be a filmmaker.
He hopped around a lot in college. He started at UC Santa Barbara and transferred 4 times over 6 years.
It was really hard for me to be like, choose one thing you want to do for the rest of your life. I took an anthropology class. I was like, oh my God, I love anthropology. This is great. I took like an art history class. This is great. I took a business class. That was really interesting and practical. Everything was really interesting to me.
He settled on graphic design, creative but practical. In 2008, he moved to Milwaukee, following a girlfriend who was headed here for her PhD. They broke up, but he stuck around anyway.
And my first job was literally across the street from Red Arrow Park, Kitty Corner.
He did graphic design for the Pabst Theater. He added photo and video editing to his skill set. Then he learned that a few friends were making a documentary. They were following the Milwaukee bands Juniper Tar and Strand of Oaks on an East Coast tour. Eric took a week off to join them.
And, you know, as we worked on the film, it wasn't so much about a documentary about these bands. It was more about the experience of being on the road and the people you meet along the way. And working on that film, it gave me the confidence. I'd be like, I mean, I could do this. We did this. Like, this is something I feel proud about.
He quit the Pabst, lined up freelance news jobs, corporate video projects, even wedding gigs. The low cost of living in Milwaukee made it easier to make ends meet as a filmmaker here versus New York or L.A. One piece he worked on was a 2014 package for Vice News about Corey Stingley. In 2012, customers at a convenience store in West Allis suspected Stingley of shoplifting. They held him down. The 16-year-old boy died from a lack of oxygen. In early 2014, Milwaukee County DA John Chisholm decided that no criminal charges would be filed. That was fresh in Eric's mind when he learned about the Dontre Hamilton shooting.
I mean, as soon as that happened, I was kind of following the news every day. I was listening to it every day, and I was thinking about Corey Stingley and the history of some things that have gone on in the city, and wanting to know more.
He was originally interested in the Hamilton case from a mental health perspective. Dontre had schizophrenia.
I have a cousin I grew up with that has paranoid schizophrenia and is literally homeless in my hometown. And I think a lot of people cast judgment on the Hamilton family early on and made assumptions about who they were. And I just think if this were to happen to my family, that we'd probably get the benefit of the doubt.
Eric and his family are white. The Hamiltons are black.
And so early on, I was interested in knowing more a little bit about the perspective of the Hamilton family and the, you know, the challenges that they faced.
That spring, he juggled his freelance assignments and kept tabs on the case from a distance.
I didn't want to impose myself. I mean, they're already going through so much. It's like they had the media in their face. They had to become like de facto. They had to really quick try to learn the legal system and what their rights were and trying to find answers for their son and also grieving. So it was intimidating for me to even approach them. But it wasn't really until they put themselves out in the public a bit more, which is like later in summer of 2014, they started having rallies here at Red Arrow Park. And once they kind of put themselves out there a little bit more, that's when I approached them.
In August of 2014, Michael Brown was killed in Ferguson, Missouri. Eric says that high-profile police killing changed the dynamic in Milwaukee.
The national awareness of what was going on, and more people wanted to show solidarity with that. And, you know, we had the Dontre Hamilton case here in Milwaukee that people could, it was a family that they could support through this process here.
Through his camera, Eric watched the protest for police accountability grow. He gathered 500 hours of videotape. He captured tense moments in City Hall for his film.
Chief Lynn has got the gun!
And he captured quiet moments of anticipation.
You know, we meet with the district attorney today at 6 o'clock for his final decision on the outcome, whether he's going to charge the officer or not. And, you know, I've just been trying to get my mind to accept either way.
The officer who killed Dontre Hamilton was ultimately not charged. Even so, the family looked for other signs of victory. For instance, they lobbied the city to require better mental health training for police officers.
And it was really amazing to see them go from, you know, like a feeling of defeat, and then to, you know what, we're going to take control of the narrative, and if we're not going to get answers, we're going to force people to give us answers. And so it was really amazing watching them go from basically apolitical, not really knowing the laws, not really knowing the media, to organizing themselves.
Nate Hamilton founded the Coalition for Justice. His mom, Maria Hamilton, started Mothers for Justice.
You know, a lot of times when a tragedy like this happens, it's kind of activists take the reins and support the family. But in this instance, it really was the family taking the lead and having the activists kind of fall behind.
It's been a hard 3 years for Eric. The weight of the story combined with the long Wisconsin winters made it difficult to leave the house sometimes.
Making this film was like physically, mentally, financially, by far the most difficult thing I've ever done in my life, you know? You know, it's a very emotional, dark case for everyone involved. You know, I went through, you know, bits of depression and...
He thought about quitting, maybe just producing a short documentary, then turning back to other things.
And the difference was, is for me, it's like I could check out if things got too hard or I needed a break. Like, I could check out and leave the story. With the Hamilton family, this is their life. They didn't have that luxury of being able to tap out when they wanted.
He felt a responsibility.
You know, this is a very important story to Milwaukee, and I think that this film is bigger than me, you know? Through the course of the filmmaking, as I realized, you know, like, I might be too tired to film this one thing this one day, but nobody's gonna care when it's up on a screen. Like, I have no excuses. No one's gonna care that I didn't sleep the night before, or I just got off a plane, or I missed this thing because I went on a date or something like that. Like, I cut out a lot of things in my life over the last 3 years and made a lot of sacrifices to make this, because I realized that people are only going to judge the film and maybe even this family by what's put on the screen.
With this film, he's had an opportunity to go deep and tell the kind of full story he wants to see more of.
You know, I've worked in breaking news stories before, and I always felt, you know, gross afterward, because it's like you're swooping in, getting some shots of a family crying, and then you're on to the next story, and it just feels gross, you know? And it's like, I kind of preferred, you know, doing this longer form journalism endeavor, because it's like you have more time with your subjects, and you're not only showing sad things, you know, you're showing growth, and you're showing them heal. You know, I think that's an important part of the process as well, and oftentimes we don't see that. We just look at families as victims and not as full human beings. You know?
He closes the film with scenes of the family dancing and laughing as the credits roll, images of healing he's captured over the last 3 years. A song plays. It's a dedication to Dontre, written by his brothers.
My little brother's an angel now, and he never gotta worry now. Living life in the heavens, looking down, making sure we safe. Give anything to see, smiling face. He lived life on the verge of everything. All he really wanted was his family to have everything.
I'm Aisha Turner, 89.7 WUWM.
Before he died, he was thinking about his family. It's a shame we have to face this reality. Your death won't stand in the dark. We bring it clarity and use your name to start a charity.
I still dream about your daily. Just keep streaming, going crazy. I need you here, I want you here. I'm screaming one love. I still dream about your daily. Just keep streaming, going crazy.
Race and ethnicity reporting supported by the Doman Company.